Welcome to Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Nawan Thompson. I'm here with my co-host, Curtis Williams.
Welcome back. We have one of the rising coaches in Oregon high school basketball today. We have Coach Daniel Blanks from Nelson High School at Happy Valley.
Now, let's start at the beginning of your coaching journey. How did that begin and how did you get into coaching?
I would say growing up, I always had I was always competitive, you know, so I just like to do any sport. So I played baseball, I played basketball, I played tennis in high school. I would do anything that involves in winning and competing. So that's the number one thing. So as an adult, when I'm going through trying to figure out what kind of career path I would take and what would not feel like work to me, coaching lane was the one thing that I've always wanted to do. I also, growing up, you know, I grew up, my mom, single mom with three kids, and she used basketball as a tool to keep me, you know, out of the streets. And I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, where it's a lot different than Oregon, where if you're not busy and doing things, then you can fall into a lot of issues and trouble and stuff like that. So she used basketball and sports as a tool to keep me on the right path. And during that, I had a lot of influential coaches that kind of, you know, taught me a lot and played, you know, like a father figure role to me. So just always looking up to all my coaches growing up throughout my life, all of them being like father figures to me, it kind of allowed me to kind of fall in that same path and want to be just like them in a way. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
You say you're from St. Louis. How did you actually end up in Oregon?
Yeah, so I during COVID, I was coaching. I'm originally from Fairview Heights, Illinois. So it's southern Illinois. It's almost like how Portland and Vancouver is. It's right over the bridge. So I was lived in Illinois, but we kind of claim St. Louis because we're 4 hours from Chicago. I was coaching at Belleville Township High School in Belleville, Illinois. Belleville, and it's one of the biggest 4A. 4A is the highest classification in Illinois. So it was one of the biggest 4A schools in the state. And during COVID, our season was on a hiatus. And I always wanted to move out of the Midwest. It has just been a goal of mine. It's not like a place where I would, you know, want to grow and build my family and do that type of thing. So when COVID came, I was working at the St. Louis VA. And the VA center, medical center, is such a cool thing where they have VAs all over the country. So I was applying for jobs, and I applied for a job in Georgia. I applied for a job in Portland. And during COVID, I actually got the job offer for the one in Portland. So I moved here sight unseen. They gave me 4 days to accept, and they gave me 4 weeks to report. So I moved here sight unseen. I sold my house while I was in Oregon. It's been one of the best decisions I ever made. You know, I kind of just took a leap of faith, and I've been coaching my whole life. So, when my season paused back home, I was, you know, got on the internet, started looking up and researching the Oregon basketball scene. And I saw there was a job opening, assistant coaching position over at Gresham High School. So I remember meeting with Coach Lizzo and Cuddy, a video call in Illinois, interviewing me, joining me, getting me on their staff. So that was pretty much planned and set up before I moved here. And then when I got here, I had a good situation around good people that, you know, was looking after me, mentoring me, steering me in the right direction in the sense. So that's how I got here in Oregon.
Now, you talk about some of your mentors that you had that helped shape you or whatnot. Yeah. Who are some of those mentors that help you in the game today? And who are some of those people that you still lean on?
Yeah, my AAU coaches growing up, I say Eddie Brown and Bam. We call him Bam Dent. They're my AAU coaches from fifth grade through eighth grade. Back then, you know, your AAU coaches, they pick you up. They picked a whole team up for practices. You know, they picked their whole team up for games. We would travel, you know, different places, and our coach would be the one that's driving. And it was a lot of the people in our team was kind of inner city, you know, had the same kind of situation that I was dealing with, where, you know, maybe a broken home or maybe financial, it might not, you know, be in a good situation for them. So coaches, you know, back in the Midwest and back in the South, they really, you know, play a big part in the kids' lives and outside of basketball. So Eddie Brown and Bam Dent, they started me off, and they're very influential in my life. Then I went to high school. Jeff Creek was the coach at Belleville East High School my first 2 years. That really kind of taught me my work ethic. And then I transferred to Meridian High School in Meridian, Mississippi. And I had a coach called Randy Bolden, who is a college coach currently. And he was one of the all-time leading scorers at Texas Southern, and he ran a high school program like a college program, and he was really big on discipline and academics. And so a lot of the things that I, you know, I've learned a lot from him as well. And then that's the coaches that mentor me as a young adult, in the sense where Coach Liz Lowe was huge in my development as a coach. Alex Edwards, who was a former coach at Nelson, was the assistant coach at when I was coaching over at Loa in the Metro League. Gene Potter was one who kind of gravitated towards me, or took me under his wing in a way where he was one of the few coaches in the Metro League that wanted to help me grow as a young coach, you know. And him and I have a really good relationship. And Coach Key last year, Robert Key, last year on my staff, I learned so much from him. I think he's one of the greatest coaches in the state. He taught me a lot as well. So those are some of the coaches that I would say.
What vision did you have when you first took over the Nelson program, with it being a new school, not really a big history? What was your vision?
When I first started, you know, feeling the itch of coaching or wanting to be a coach in my life, I would say it started, you know, in sixth grade. And when I would tell my friends in sixth grade that I wanted to be a college basketball coach, I would tell them I wanted to be the winningest college basketball coach of all time. And every situation that I've been in since that point forward, I kind of always had the same goal. You know, I want to win at the highest level, and I want to be better than everyone that, you know, is doing it, in a sense. My goal was to be a college coach. So I think that in order to get to the college level, I have to build a really good high school program and kind of build those relationships and grow the high school program, in the sense to see that, show that I can do the job. That's pretty much how I would answer that question for sure.
Every program has like a core identity. You've been at Nelson since the inception. What would you say that core identity for Nelson basketball is?
You know, we run our program like a college program. So every drill, every standard, every habit, everything that is required in a college practice, I require in my practice, and it's non-negotiable. I think I want high-level athletes and high-level players, and I want to make sure that they're prepared for it. So I think the only way I can fail them is if they're not prepared when they leave me. And I run my program that such. And to kind of piggyback off that as well, it all translates to life, and it translates to being, you know, an exceptional father, exceptional man, exceptional dad. So I think our number one thing is how hard we work, and how hard I demand, you know, that from our kids every single day. And the second thing I think is, you know, we break all of our huddles. You know, it's a family on three, you know, and I think that it truly is a family, and something that I try to build at our program. Because I know, you know, when you do things with people you love and you have a genuine love for that person or a group of people, you're going to go about your business totally different. So I would say that's the biggest thing that our program is built on, is this family love. We care for each other. We work hard, and we do things the right way, in the sense of, you know, how to build it. You know, you build it through really, really good kids, but you build it to have, in order to have a culture, you have to have, you know, standards where kids have to kind of reach and meet. And that's what I've been doing for the last few years, is just establishing that.
No, most definitely. You've been doing a good job of that. You know, last year you guys went 21-6, 12-2 in league play, split for the league title for the first time in school history. Top 16 going into the playoffs, 20-5 overall. And so, looking at that, you know, how do you guys see yourself building off of last season?
Yeah, I think that it's all been kind of being built for the last 4 years, 5 years, in the sense. I mean, I was building it with Alex Edwards, the previous head coach. The first year when the school was built, you know, seniors, they were allowed to stay at Clackamas. So our first team, we had all juniors and we had sophomores. So we didn't have any senior-led team. So then the following year, it was going to be senior-led. And I always was kind of thinking of the future and thinking about, you know, what do we do when this whole group leaves? So we had our second year, there were 12 seniors on that team. So when I was there the first year, I kind of already had that vision of, you know, what are we going to do when that group leaves? I was coaching like a seventh grade youth team at that time. So a lot of times, a lot when I came back to Nelson, that seventh grade group that I was coaching, they were my freshman class. That was a big reason why I took the job at Nelson, that I was returning to a program that I was helped building and that I already had the relationships in the building. So I think our success is a product of what we've been building the last few years. I kind of took that formula in my first coaching job. I was a junior high school coach. And when you're a junior high school coach, I was an eighth grade head coach. And back home, you allowed to have school-based teams in the middle school. So it was a fifth grade team, sixth grade team, seventh grade team, eighth grade team. And if you're the eighth grade coach, your players leave the following year every year. So how do you sustain success? So I sustained it by having fifth, sixth, seventh graders on my eighth grade team, where I have guys coming back year after year after year. And I kind of took that same, you know, philosophy when I was at Aloha. I had 10 freshmen and sophomores on my varsity team. When I came to Nelson, I did the same thing where I started two freshmen, started two sophomores. I have a lot of those kids back. The last 2 years, we've returned our entire team besides two players. So the year before, we returned two players. And then now this year, we brought in two new players, but we bring our whole team back. So I would say that philosophy of, you know, knowing that it's a long game and not trying to just build it per year, but realizing that, you know, is the kind of the formula for success is, you know, having returning guys, having a junior senior led team. So this is the first year in the 3 years where I have a junior senior led team. So I think just by the product of that, you know, you're going to be more competitive than you were previously with a sophomore or freshman led team. So
last year, you guys, upon your great season, kind of had some unluck, some bad luck in the playoffs playing Jesuit, who was a 11th seed. But as we know, they end up losing the state championship game. What are some things that you guys got from that game versus Jesuit that will help you guys to actually reach the Child Center this year?
Yeah, I think it was a growing pains, and it was a part of it, you know, with a young team. I mean, Nawan, you probably deal with this a lot, where your team, you know, been to the Child Center, and you guys were trying to get over the hump this year, you know, where those experiences of failure is going to drive you to kind of this year, you know, to want to get back there. And I think that's what that game did for us, and I think it was necessary. I think our players, you know, came into the offseason hungry, wanting to improve, wanting to, you know, elevate the program even more. I think, you know, regardless of where it happens, if it's the Child Center or if it's a playoff game against Jesuit, it's all about, you know, it's all about what you take out of it. So I actually take it as a blessing. I take losing that game as a blessing, because it's going to fuel our team and it's going to be the reason why we kind of break through this year or the following year. Whenever we break through, I think, you know, having those failures and having that game in the playoffs against Jesuit, I think it's going to be the reason why we're successful for sure.
If there's one thing, what's one thing that you took away from that game? I know, you know, you said Gene Potter is one of your mentors, and so you had a chance to go against him. And I know, you know, we faced him over here in Southridge minimum twice a year, right? And it's always a coaching battle against sure. him, one of the best in the state. What would you take away from that game?
Yeah, I take a lot from Gene Potter's teams, you know, throughout the years. I think that he wins a lot with a lot of different type of players and a lot of different, like, style of players, but the system is kind of the same. I love how he gets them to that point where at the beginning of the year, you know, they might not have that continuity on offense where the ball is always finding the right person and they're not over dribbling, they're getting downhill to kick out, to have the extra pass and have the hockey assist, and the ball is just moving and it's humping around the perimeter. I think that kind of philosophy of, you know, growing your offense throughout the season and kind of getting the guys gelling in that system, I think that was one of the things that the Jesuit team they had, you know. And then just like personnel, two things of personnel in Oregon basketball, I feel like four guards and a big is really valuable in the sense where all the players on the perimeter can pass, shoot, score, attack, and read the floor. I think that team had that last year. And then the depth part aspect of it, you know, a lot of teams, you know, they make a kind of it's two things where they, you know, sometimes they might think you're too deep, you know, and then sometimes they might not think you're deep enough. So if you have 12 guys, like, how can you play those 12 guys? Or if you have six, then they might think you're not deep enough. I think Gene had two teams of players last year where he kind of facilitated it in a way where it was the best interest of the team. And that Isaac come off the bench and he's scoring, you know, more than he would if he was starting. And he had role players that was, you know, feeling confident and blending the starting group in with the second unit. So that's what I took from that game and just how he put it together and the part of the growth throughout the season and, you know, who you are at the beginning of the season and who you are at the end is totally different. Then I think that that team has some really good senior leaders as well. And I think that that aspect of it where I remember warming up for the game and you have, you know, their senior players, you can see on their face, you know, you see how much it means to them. It's their last game. It's do or die, you know. And if you don't have, you know, senior players or senior leaders that, you know, feel that same way or kind of have that same look, then you're kind of playing like 17U versus 15U in a way where it's, you know, you're going to have a long night. So I think that the senior leaders they had last year as well was big time for their program. So I took that away as well.
No, absolutely. You know, Patrick Kilfoyle over there at Jesuit was a great senior leader for them, and he was definitely primed and ready for the playoffs. But speaking of great players, you have one yourself in Braylon Gaines, one of the most talented guards in the state right now. What makes Braylon special, both as a player and a leader for your team?
I think Braylon, his attachment to the game, his attachment to winning. I think I hear a lot of his interviews and a lot of, you know, him talking, and one of the things is he loves to win, you know, and I think that his attachment to that is it doesn't just saying it doesn't really give it justice. Like, he would really do anything to win, you know. Like, he during the games or during practices, there's certain practices where every practice I have to keep my whistle in my mouth and save him from himself, where he'll dive on the floor four times in practice. He'll run through the wall. He would, you know, him going up for a rebound, it'd be almost a fight between him and another player. So I have to kind of save him from himself. But in the games, you don't do that. So then that's what everyone sees. And I think just his attachment to the game, his attachment to winning, is what makes him special. I think the best aspects of his game, I would say, is his passing ability and his defense. I think his passing ability and his ability to make his teammates better, and his ability to kind of get the group. Like, he's a very likable kid, and a lot of the kids gravitate towards him. So if you have a kid that everyone likes and he's competing that hard, he's able to kind of get his friends to kind of come with him and compete at the same level, you know. And I think that that aspect has been huge in my program and growing the program, where he kind of has, like, you know, four or five guys that are kind of that same, like, that's picking up his same mentality and are like, you know, rah, 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 trying to, you know, win at all costs. And I think that has rubbed off on a lot of people. It's rubbed off on me as well. Like, today in our youth clinic, I'm doing a drill with a kid and Braylon's in there, and it was just a dribbling drill, and the kid lost the balls and the ball's rolling like 4 feet. So I just dove on it, you know, and I ripped my pants and I showed Braylon, like, yeah, you appreciate that. But it's what he brings every day. He is the standard that he kind of does. I mean, he does it every single day in practice, and he's special in that regard. I remember just growing up in the college, the high school ranks, and trying to think about what college coaches want in a point guard. And all of it was the intangible stuff. It was all about, you know, how they guard, how they communicate, how they talk, how they show up on time, how they are in the classroom, how they do all those different things. And I think that as well is what separates him. And I think I have, you know, I'm blessed to have, you know, a few other special players too in our program. I think just, you know, seeing Carter Lockhart, he's going to be a special player. He's a special one now. The way he's able to connect with his teammates, and his communication in the gym, his kind of confidence is what you kind of want if you want a player that's going to, you know, kind of like take that next step in the sense. Leo Onishinko is another kid who I think is going to be a big time player in our state. He has a lot of tools, and one of the things that has impressed me about getting to know Leo as well as his personality, and kids gravitate towards him as well. Leo's biggest thing is showing it and opening up and being a leader and wanting to, you know, carry that, you know, sword on, you know, in that sense. Then I have, like, just a bunch of other really, really good players, like Chaz Catawanga and Malachi Garlington. They're both Division I football recruits, but they both have, you know, high-level habits where they've impacted our team. And Chaz, he's been a starter for me for 3 years and has been influential in our culture and our hard work and those type of things. And then Cooper Day is another kid who's been on our program for 3 years, and He, I think, is a special player. He kind of is, you know, fall into his own in the sense of, you know, feeling confident and wanting to come out of his shell and be a leader and do those things. So I think, you know, he's also a kid that, you know, is going to play college basketball at some level. Of a kid that people might not know about, Ashton Cantwell is another kid who's been there in our program for 3 years, and he's a special kid as well that I think is going to play college basketball at some level. So I'm extremely blessed, and I think Braylon has been influential in helping me, you know, kind of live out the vision of my program. And I think we have a lot of kids who have lived up to it and also are reaping the rewards of that, you know, as well. So that's how I would answer.
And how do you help players like Braylon continue to grow when they're already one of the top players in their class? Like, what do you do to help him continue to grow?
I think you're honest with them. I think as older the players get, the more honest you have to be with them, you know, because the closer they are to wanting what they, you know, have set out for. So I think just being honest with Braylon about, you know, the things that he has to improve on, you know, this summer was his body, his jump shot, his leadership, you know, just doing those type of things that live like a pro and take care of your body early. So, you know, you kind of can eliminate that baby fat that he might, you know, people might see. And then I think just empowering the other players to challenge him and also, you know, live it through that culture we have. You know, I have a lot of players who've been beneficial in pushing Braylon in practice and also have an IQ like him in the sense that, you know, that challenges him every day. You know, one of those players who been on my program for 3 years is Jaden Chagardis as well. He's a kid that has known Braylon for a long time. And our program is extremely player led. And Jaden is a kid that also holds Braylon to a high standard. He's a kid that, you know, challenges them every day in practice. Chaz Catawanga is a kid that does the exact same thing. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I've, you know, done to help him continue to improve is just be honest with him and then just build a culture of people and players in our program that's going to push him and make him go to the next level. And another thing I would say is just the relationship aspect of it. You know, I think you have to be willing as a coach. We're in a tough situation where, you know, I feel like love is the biggest, you know, quality you can give the kid that you're coaching. And I think that, and we're in a situation where in a leadership aspect of the relationship where we have to show the kid that we love them before they actually willing to reciprocate or show us back. You know, you kind of have to show up every day and hold them to a high standard, and they might not know what that is, you know? So I think that's one of the biggest things that have grown through Braylon and I relationship and Jaden and I relationship and all the kids' relationship is that they know that I love them. So I'm able to be on them really hard, and they don't take it personal, and they're kind of can just understand and listen to the things that I'm saying and not how I'm saying it. So that's how I would, you know, answer and why he's been improving. And then I would say there's something to say for like the long game, you know, where a coach told me that, I don't know who told me, but coach was telling me that the special players don't kind of look at the rankings, or they're not comparing themselves to other people. They're kind of just running their own race, you know? And I think Braylon, I feel like the first 2 years, a lot of people knew him, but they didn't think that his game would translate. So they kind of like were maybe overlooking him in a way because, you know, he might not be 6'3" or whatever the case may be. I think that's also motivated Braylon to prove himself, and he's self-motivated as well. So I think that has been huge in his development, you know, for sure.
Kind of stole our thunder with some of our questions, but I'll, going back to Carter and Leo, two high-profile kids in the 2028 class that's transferred from Central Catholic. They're getting a lot of buzz. What do you think they're going to bring to the table this year, and how are the kids adapting with them being part of the Nelson team?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is both Leo and Carter, and Carter is more vocal than Leo, but they both are just really, really good people. And they both have a love for other people that people might not see them as just basketball players. So I think the biggest thing that they bring to our team is the continuity and the chemistry part of it. I think Leo has a ability to he wants people to like him, you know, so he's going to kind of carry himself in the way where he wants people to kind of like him and gravitate towards him in the sense those type of kids are valuable in your program because then they are intentional about, you know, how they're walking into the locker room and the relationship they're keeping with other people, you know. And I think Carter, he's a like almost like Jaden and Braylon with his IQ, and he's like a coach on the floor. So he has a good, you know, gauge of the temperature in the room and knowing like, you know, hey, I haven't connected with this guy. And Carter reminds me a lot about Braylon. Like Braylon's freshman year, he would fail in his leadership, like trying to lead guys in the sense where a lot of the seniors or the juniors might not have like wanted to listen to a younger player. And he kind of was persistent about it. And Carter reminds me of him in that sense where Carter, you know, came in wanting to lead, you know, from the very first day. He wanted to have a voice. He wanted to, you know, he has a voice in practice. He has a voice in the locker room. There's times where in open gyms where, you know, the open gyms are challenging and all the boys go back to the locker room. And then I like peeping my head in and Carter speaking, you know, and I think that that reminded me a lot about Braylon because he was doing that from the start. As soon as he walked into the gym, he was wanting to lead. So I think that those two qualities of Carter and Leo is going to be the biggest, you know, what helps our program the most. And then I think that both of them are really super talented players that, you know, if they buy into the culture and buy into the hard work, and I know they will, that the future is, you know, the sky's the limit for both those two players. So I'm excited to be a part of their journey and to develop them and to kick them out of practice, you know, every other day and try to hold that high standards, and hopefully that they kind of, you know, take it and run with it. So
as a staff and as a team this year, what is your guys' goals this year for 6A, for whether it's Mount Hood League or for the state?
My team goals is we always want to win the state title, you know, but beyond that, I mean, my personal self, you know, I always, from the very first time I, you know, took the head coaching job, I would have a coaching booklet that I would give away to all my coaches, and it has coaching roles. And each year I kept it the same thing. You know, my job as the head coach is to facilitate our program to be the best program in the state and ranked nationally. And that's the same thing that I put every single year. It's just who I am as a person. It's what I strive to be as a competitor. So I would say winning-wise, I would want to be the top team in the state, ranked nationally. I would say in terms of, you know, what we do and what our job is about, I would want, you know, all my seniors to go to college. And I would want all of my players who want to play college basketball to get what they've been working for. So, you know, I think that when you win, you know, you get what you deserve in that sense. So that's the biggest thing I want. You know, I want Braylon to get the offers he wants. I want Carter to get the offer. Leo to get the offer he wants. I want Chaz to go and get the football offers he wants, even though he has six. But I know he's, you know, still waiting for some ones that he's, you know, his dream school. I have a kid, Cal Gradwall, who committed to play, you know, baseball in college. So he's set, but I just will want all the kids to get out of the season and get out of their high school careers what they want. Cooper Day, he wants to be a college basketball player. Ashton Cantwell wants to be a college basketball player, who I believe in. So that's the biggest, that's the number one thing I will want to get out of the season, is that the players are setting themselves up for, you know, their lives out after this year. So that's the biggest thing.
And who do you, outside of your guys' self, who do you think is some of the biggest threats to you guys winning a state championship this year?
Yeah, I think, man, one most underrated thing about Oregon basketball, I feel like, is the guard play in Oregon. I feel like the coaches. I feel like we have some elite coaches in our state. And I think that we have a lot of coaches who, you know, they're in the mix each year, and they're in the mix when their team trans over. They might lose their point guard or lose two of their guards, and they're still successful. So I think, you know, Southridge is a program that's always, you know, in the mix every single year. I think Central Catholic, with what David Blue does over there, he gets a lot of high-level players there in. Tualatin, they have two high-level players, a really good coach, really good program. I mean, they've continued their success no matter who's in the uniform. Jesuit, you know, I think I saw them play at the Wipka this summer, and they looked really good. And Gene Potter is going to have them playing the right way, playing defense, moving the ball. I think Sunset is a surprise. I think the Metro League is going to be a, you know, bloodbath, so to speak, where there's three or four teams that can win that. The Mount Hood Conference, We have, you know, three or four teams. We have five teams in LSI. I'm a big supporter of Cliff White at Gresham. I believe in him a lot. I believe in, you know, his kids and our three brothers and Teray. He's a, you know, elite shooter. And I believe in, you know, Ja'Kai, a sophomore. So I don't think there's really, I mean, I think anybody could be anybody on any given night. Chad Reeves, I think he's a legend. I think he's been there for 30 years. And if you hear what his former players say about him and how much they revere him at David Douglas, I think he's one of the greats. Tom Johnson, he's going to have that Barlow team playing the right way, playing good. They have a lot of champions returning. So I think it's wide open. I think there's a lot of really, really good coaches and really, really good programs that can, you know, can you know, beat us or be in a way of, you know, reaching our goals. So that's how I would answer it.
Yeah, talking about a lot of great coaches, you know, you've had the chance to work with Robert Key on your staff, and now you have Corey Lockhart on your staff as assistant coach. Talk about what they bring to the table as assistant coaches to your program.
My whole goal is to, you know, be a college coach. So when I'm in the high school ranks and you're the head coach, a lot of times people like to think that you know the most or you are the person that runs the show. And I try to put myself in situations where I can still grow as a coach. So I don't want to be the smartest person in the room, or I look for other head coaches to come in part of my program so I can learn as well and I can continue to develop as a young coach. So that's the number one thing that I look for if I lose a coach, you know, who has done it before, you know, who were the other, you know, retired coaches there in our state, the coaches that, you know, might have gotten let go other places that are still itching about, you know, still itching to coach. So that's the number one thing that I try to look for, because I want to grow as myself. And I also want to provide our kids with, you know, the high quality coaching as all as possible. So that's what drove me to wanting to have Coach Key a part of my staff. I think that he's a coaching legend. I think he's one of the best in the state. I learned so much from him. So it was just exactly what I thought it would be. Corey, he brings the same, you know, similar thing. He have coached all over the state. He's ran his program. He took a team to the Child Center. He's a guy that I coached with him at Gresham under the staff with Derek Lislow. So I kind of understand his gifts and know that one of the greatest things about him as a coach is the way he's able to connect with his players, and his players are able to kind of know that he cares about them. So I felt that was a blessing to have in our program. Tyler Toney, who's a former coach at Westland, he's another guy that is on my staff, who is a former coach that is going to be influential in, you know, the impact on the kids. And he already has relationships with a lot of the kids in there. Marcus Golder is a guy. He used to play at Clackamas. He played at Portland State. He is a kid that he's been with me for 3 years as well. And I think he is a up-and-coming coach. He wants to be a head coach. So I think one day he's going to be a tremendous coach. And I take pride in building having an elite coaching staff and having other head coaches. And it's one of the things I talk to my team about all the time. It's like, the person that I bring in, whoever I bring in, is going to be elite. Like, I won't bring in someone in our program that, you know, is just here or not going to grow the program. So that's one of the, you know, promises I made to my team. And it's one of the things that I kind of take pride in, you know, executing each year.
What are some coaches, coaching mentors that you have, whether you know them or you don't know, that you study and learn from?
And so growing up, my coaching, the number one is Phil Jackson and Coach Cad. You know, hands down, I was a huge Duke Blue Devil fan. So I remember in high school, and maybe even before high school, I would record all the Duke basketball games, and I would watch the offensive side and I would watch the defensive side. And then I would take notes. I would pick up on habits. So player habits, like how they close out, how they jump into the ball, or like how they are kind of going about their business. But I would look for like collective habits, because that would be how I would learn from Coach K. So I would say, okay, he must be teaching them this. He must be showing them this. He must be showing them this, you know? So I was doing that early. So I was a huge, huge Coach K fan. Then I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan, in the sense where I, you know, followed his career, and Phil Jackson was his coach. And I'm always just fascinated. I've always fascinated by the coaching, because coaching the profession is so hard. You have to kind of, you're not playing, but you have to use like your IQ and your like understanding of people to kind of get the group to kind of be their best selves. Coaching can ruin a team. You know, coaching can help a team win and a coach can help a team lose, you know. So I'm always fascinated about elite coaches. So I would say the top two would be Coach K and Phil Jackson. But then I would also say, you know, Eric Lislow at Portland Christian. When I first came into his practices, I was wide-eyed, and I'd never been in that situation before because I've been playing basketball my whole life. And I'm, you know, when you're wide-eyed, you're uncomfortable in the sense because you're not sure what's going, you know. And just being with him that year, it taught me so much. It taught me how to run a program. It taught me just the things you can, you can't do. You know, he was always on, like, always, like, in my ear about, you know, not being an absent coach where you have to touch the youth kids and touch the high school kids that are freshmen and touch the JV team and touch the JV2 team and, you know, put all that extra time in and do all those different roles. And that's one of the biggest things that, you know, people, you know, give me credit for at Nelson. And it's one of the things that I learned from him. So those are the my biggest coaches and mentors, I would say. And then I steal stuff from coaches all over the state, all over any state. You know, if I'm watching games, I'm watching a good college program, or I take stuff from all coaches. You know, I love watching college practices. I love going to the college practices. I take my team to college practices. I go myself. I try to just learn anything or anything possible I can do to kind of grow my student athletes and grow my players in the sense of, you know, making them prepare for college. So I steal stuff from a lot of coaches. I learn stuff from every single coach that I interact with. And I try to just continue to press the envelope. And Tom Johnson is another coach that I take a lot of stuff from. How he dresses, you know, is all professional. And you guys might come to the game where I'm in a suit as well. And it's, you know, homage to Tom Johnson in the sense where I think that, you know, that professionalism in coaching is important. And it's all I've seen growing up. And a lot of times, a lot of coaches kind of went away from it. And I saw him, you know, when I first got to Oregon, he was shirt and tie every game, you know. And I knew when I was an assistant, I would see that. I was like, when I'm a head coach, I'm doing the exact same thing. So I take stuff from every coach, and it could be big or small, you know, in the sense. So,
can you give us an example, something specific that your assistant coaches do to make your program stronger, whether it's like scouting, player development? What do you lean on them for?
Yeah, so my assistant coaches, they scout. I lean on my assistant coaches for everything. I mean, personally, the relationship we have, you know, with each other. I lean on them to be my eyes when I'm not there. I lean on them to run my freshman and JV programs like it's a varsity program. We run the same drills for our first, you know, 40 minutes of practice, the same at every single level. So I expect my assistant coaches to kind of uphold the standard of our program. And it's important to me because I want, you know, whoever goes in our program, you go from a level to, you know, freshman to JV, JV to varsity, you know, you all are comfortable in practices and you're all able to kind of have the same terminology and you're able to kind of have the same standards in the sense. So that's important to me. The scouting aspect of it is one of the things that I would always do myself. So the first, you know, year at Aloha, the first year at Nelson, I would do it myself because I, you know, your games are won off your scout, you know, and your games are won off of your preparation. And it was one of the things as a young coach that I didn't want to kind of give away because I, you know, I want to win and I want to, you know, I'm very, very competitive. And it's one of those things that I've been since Coach Key joined my staff, I had to, you know, delegate a lot to him in that sense where I knew he's one of the greatest coaches in the state. And I have him here to mentor me. So I had to kind of allow some of the stuff that I would usually, you know, keep a tight hold on to kind of give to him and give to Coach Golder and now Coach Lockhart and Coach Tony. So I rely on my coaches for scouting every game. So we have a scouting schedule and we're all in rotation. Some of it's kind of, you know, strategic in the sense where I have all the big games scouts, you know, but throughout the season we rotate our scout. So they're responsible for, you know, watching the film. I prefer them to see the team play once in person. They run the scout team. So prepare the scout team in the sense of knowing the five, you know, sets that the offense runs the most, all of their baseline out of bounds plays. We make sure that we scout and just to connect it with the students. You know, that's the biggest thing that I felt like I did when I was an assistant coach is I was, you know, relatable and I was the, you know, the good cop in a way where I'm able to kind of check on the kids, you know, how their life is outside of basketball. And that's why, you know, try to strategically plan on my coaching staff that I'm able to bring people in that can connect to a lot of different people and a lot of people that I might not be able to do myself. So that's why I rely on my coaching staff for relating to the kids, scouting. I do a lot of the skill development, but we break it down in practices where coaches are responsible for different position groups. But I pretty much have a practice plan and I, you know, tell them, you know, what the drills or what the skills that I want to focus on today. It might be a collection of drills that I'm telling them that I want them to work with the wings, bigs, or whatever the case may be. And then it's all fluent where Coach Key, he has a lot of suggestions where, hey, coach, like I seen somebody do this. Like, what do you think about this? Or Coach Lockhart, he sends me stuff all the time of different, you know, out of timeout plays or baseline out of bound plays or different offensive, you know, kind of things. So I rely on them. I want to empower them. I want them to be an extension of me. I want the coaches that used to be head coaches to be head coaches again. And I want, you know, coaches that are coming up the ranks to be head coaches. So I try to, you know, I try to empower them as much as I possibly can. It's been hard. And that's, it's been one of the hardest things to do as a coach. Because, you know, you want to win, you want to grow the program so much. So you got to get guys that's, you know, on your team that wants to win and wants to grow it as much as you. And sometimes that's not always easy to find, you know. So it's one of the things that I've been growing in as a coach and trying to delegate more to other people.
All right, before we let you go, we got some quick rapid fire questions for you. First one, what's your favorite drill or part of practice?
My favorite drill. So we start our practice. We put 32 minutes up on our clock, and we pretty much play a game before we practice. So I have a collection of drills, start at 32 minutes, 32 minutes in a high school game. And we have a collection of drills that the kids, they can run on their own, you know, at this point where it's, you know, player led, but it's fast paced and it's demanding where I demand that they have game reps to the college level in the sense where I have to like what it looks like, you know, in that sense. So I put them through, you know, the 32 minutes in the college, they call it like 40 minutes of hell. I put them through 32 minutes of it every single day before we begin our X's and O's and our practice stuff that we get through. So I would say that part of practice is my favorite because it allows me to see the habits and allows me to see what they do consistently every single day. You know, I demand that we have energy in our lines. You're bringing energy to the gym. If you're not up, then I demand that you're pushing your teammates. I think that's what our, you know, secret sauce in a way is that, you know, our reps in our program is not like other reps in other programs in the sense because we demand that it, you know, we have, you know, 20 kids in the gym that are pushing each other that's doing those drills. That's my favorite part of practice. And then I would say shoot arounds. I say we shoot have a shoot around every before every game. So if we have a home game, our shoot around is right after school. And if we have an away game, our shoot around is an hour and a half before the bus leaves. And the shoot around is one of my favorites as well because I feel like the game is won already if you have the right mentality. And it's one of the things I've been, you know, trying to kind of getting to our group of like, yeah, when you come into shoot around, like your mentality is already there for the game, you know, like how you go about your business, how you're locked in, how you're paying attention to the scouting report and film and all those different things. I would say is you know, you get have an advantage. So I would say those are the two things that I would say.
All right, next question. Who's the most underrated player on your team right now?
Underrated player? On my
one
team?
Player.
Chaz Catawanga. It's hard to say one, man, because it's hard to say one. But I'm going to say Chaz Catawanga. He is a winner.
All right, the D1 football player, lockdown basketball player, defender. The favorite gym that you coached in besides your own?
Jesuit. Taking my Iloa team to Jesuit, and before I ever, you know, I just read about it and know that the history, but then you go into their gym and it's, man, it's a experience, you know. I would say Jesuit and I would say Clackamas. You know, you guys been to Clackamas Nelson rivalries?
I've been to a couple last year.
Yeah, the games at Clackamas are really, really fun, really fun to be a part of. So I'm saying that.
One word that describes Nelson basketball this season.
Family. That's the biggest thing we've had over the 3 years of being together is that we love each other, man. my players, they are, our team is so close. And I think that the kids, they've grown up together. They have, you know, relationships that's been happened before me with Braylon and Jaden and Cooper and Malachi and all those guys. I think that, you know, we're super, super close. We tell each other we love each other. We, you know, we hold each other to a high standard. We have confrontation, and it's not something that we carry on to the next day. We operate as such. I mean, my kids can call me anytime about anything. I'm checking in on them on a daily basis. We have real conversations. We talk about becoming men and everything, you know, so I would say that.
We usually ask people who the top five players they coach, but we know you're a younger coach.
I'm going to do that. Can I do that?
We'll do top five players you've coached, whether head or assistant, and then we'll do top five players you coached against.
Okay.
Or the head assistant. Do the top five players you've coached.
Yeah, so my first year of coaching, I had the junior high school I coached at. I coached there for 5 years, and I ran it like, you know, I would say I had fifth graders there on my eighth grade team. I had sixth graders on my eighth grade team. So I would have these kids for 3 or 4 years. I have one kid, Braxton Stacker, who's a starter at Southeastern Missouri State right now. I think he's a professional player. He committed to Murray State out of high school, played 2 years there, transferred to SEMO, and now he's a senior. He is a special player. I have another kid who plays football at University of Oklahoma, Keontez Lewis, who I coached him in basketball for 3 seasons. I also coached him in track. He's a high-level Division I athlete. I would say Braylon is one of them. Highest IQ kid I ever coached. I think he could play anywhere, anywhere in the world, in the sense where he could fit in and play in the inner city teams. He can play in the South. He could play wherever. So I think Braylon is one of them. I think I have another kid who was really good. His name was Darion Reddick. He is a coach at Southern Illinois, he's assistant coach at Southern Illinois University right now. I have
last spot.
Man, it's tough because I have so many kids. I gotta say, James Chigars has one of the highest IQ kids that I has ever been around. He has super, super high IQ. But I would say also as well, I think Carter is going to be one of the highest ranked recruits that I've coached. Leo is going to be on his way. I think he's going to play Division I basketball. So this conversation could change soon. So that's how I would answer it. Yeah.
And who are the top five players you've coached against in the state of Oregon?
In the state of Oregon?
In the state of Oregon.
That's a tough question.
Whether he's assistant at Gresham or Lowell or Nelson, wherever.
I coached against. Jalen Childs at Beaverton. He was a guard my first year at Lowell. He was a senior. That team was really loaded, as well as that team was really good because they had the Rice brothers. They had Chance White. They were really good, I think. So I say Jalen Childs was a guy. I think this is a tough question. I coached Asaya at sophomore year at Gresham, but then when I went over to Nelson as assistant, I coached against him. You know, I think he had a triple-double that game. And in high school basketball, that's pretty rare. I think Asaya is one of them as well, players I coached against. Jalen Atkins, I think he's a special player. I think I coached against him, you know, from all 4 years of high school, from my time at Gresham and then throughout the coaching ranks. I think he was under-recruited, but I think that, you know, his path and where he will end up is going to be the same as a lot of other players in our state. I think, you know, he has to take, you know, pride in his, you know, becoming a college athlete, you know, and I think when he does that, I think he's going to be a good player. It's tough. Marley Zeller, man, Marley was underrated, and I think he don't really get the credit he deserves. I think he was very, very influential in that championship at Central Catholic. I think he was, in my opinion, the best player on that team. I think he was a mismatch every single night. I was a really good defender. Really good offensive player, elite athleticism. Let me see the last.
Jalen Childs, you got Asaya.
I got Asaya.
Jalen Atkins, and you got Marley Zeller. You got one more.
I got one more. Who am I going to get? So I've been in Oregon. I don't want to say their names right, but I know the backcourt you guys had at Southridge. Was it Caden Gronick? And what was the other? Carter Fortune. Those kids are underrated, man. They were a problem for years at Southridge. You know, I think Drew is his name, Drew Gronick. I think
that's the other brother, Caden.
So he he just was a pure point guard. And I think that was an overrated aspect of him, man. And he was a winner. He was a competitor. And I know there might be other talented players that, you know, that I'm missing. I don't want to miss anybody. I just remember that they were a problem to deal with that backcourt. And it was hard to speed them up. And they always made the right plays, shoot the ball at high level. But I'm missing so many. I can call, you know, the Isaac Carr and Deuce. They both are high-level players over at Central Catholic. I believe in Zamir. I think he's going to be special. Fuzzy, we played against him at Jefferson. You could put him in there. There's so many talented kids in our state, you know, for sure. But I kind of go in the lens of, like, who's harder to coach against or who to game plan for in a way. So.
Got you. Well, Coach, that's an impressive list of players you got there. We do appreciate you joining us here on the pod. It's awesome hearing how you're shaping things over there at Nelson. You gave a great staff, great group of players. You guys are building something special over there. So we'll definitely be looking out, and you guys will be, I know, on our scouting report as the season goes on. So we appreciate you coming on the pod.
No, thank you, guys.
Definitely appreciate it. Good luck this season.
No, thank you, guys. Appreciate everything you guys do. Just giving a platform for athletes, coaches, and just putting a spotlight on Oregon basketball. I think it's a gold mine, and people don't really understand how much we love it and how much we do it. Like, we are, like, we're basketball junkies and we love the game, and our players are the same exact way in our state. So just, I love what you guys are doing and just giving these guys a platform. And I watch every single episode. I'm every single episode I watch. So I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Well, we appreciate that love, man. Always. Well, until next time, stay locked in, stay working. As always, keep your buckets up in the 503.